Welcome to the Rock and Roll Survivors Podcast, dedicated to those in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, and somewhere in between. I'm Kristen, and because of you and your overwhelming feedback to Fanny's Rock and Roll Survivors, I'm joined by legendary rock stars Bree Darling and Patty Quatro to discuss their time in the band, those wild Casablanca years, David Bowie's contributions to the fifth Fanny album, and so much more. So let's get started. To give a complete shout out to Fanny fan Jason Pollen. Both Patty and I need to give a shout out to Jason Pollen because Jason, you were totally right and we were totally wrong.
Pollen is awesome. I just want to say, yeah.
He's awesome. He's so great.
Supporter.
He's great. So Fanny. I've Had It was the
first one. In fact, it was rushed out. I mean, Neil wanted something out there. We recorded it pretty quick and bam, it was out.
Yeah. So I've Had It was first and then Butter Boy, but because I was a kid when that moment happened, when Neil said, what should the next single be, with my dad and me in the office. And I said, I know what it should be. I want it to be I've Had It. But the word, the next single, is just seared in my brain. And Patty, you said it's probably because Neil was coming from Warner Brothers and it's just more like, what's the next single?
His company was starting. Okay. It makes sense. It just miscommunication. Yeah.
I want to pick up on the press that we've been talking about with Fanny, because the two of you coming in, as I have mentioned, the reception of this new version of Fanny was universally revered. The critics went on and on about you. Robert Hilburn from the LA Times, who's incredibly picky and tough, didn't really care for the older version and called them, in his words, too prissy. But with the entry of the two of you, he said, it looks like Fanny and their rock and roll stardom is about to take off. And that's a very big deal. But that was all over the press. That was not just Robert Hilburn. And so one of the things also in the press was the other band members, Nikki and Gene, singing your praises coming in. And now here we are, we're 50 years later, and there's a documentary out about Fanny and how is the history of the, you know, rock and roll all-female band. There's so much that's being talked about now, and I just wanted to pull the lens back a little bit and go back and talk about the press and how Nikki and Gene saw you then versus how Fanny the Right to Rock, the documentary, is being perceived now. And I just feel like there's stories that need to be talked about a little bit more, in the sense of back then is very different than your perspective on life now. And that's for all of us. Right. Can you imagine being held to where we were when we were 21 for the rest of our lives? Yeah. Or, you know, and so, and vice versa, that you don't remember what you said when you were 21 and now remember it very differently. And so, whether it's how you were received in the press or the other band members, I just would like to hear your thoughts. Patty?
You know, it is interesting in the larger lens of the press. In the UK and US, there was all kinds of great press from the, you know, the writers, not the band, you know. The writers were very positive in saying we were strong and more authoritative and rockier and ballsier. Those were the words they used. And, you know, no matter what city it was in, that's the kind of reception we were getting from the writers. And then Gene and Nikki, as you said, they said a lot, you know, and I've explained this in the previous episodes. They weren't going to stop, you know, they just wanted to completely go on. I think the difference comes later. To be really honest about it, I can't apologize. I really can't for being a strong personality, writer, and musician. Jean, I think, wrote more with her sister a lot in the earlier band, you know, and Nikki and I can't say it more bluntly, we bonded over the rock opera. I was drawn to her way of doing subject matter, her lyrical bents, you know, what she wanted to put out in a song. I found it exciting. So we did have a history and we probably bonded more in the writing. And I think Gene did write less. Bree, you've explained very well where you were at on our previous episode as far as the writing. And you blossomed huge, you know, as you went on with your legacy career. But Gene, I don't remember her writing a lot in that band. And it was more Nikki and me. And so she might have felt like, oh, you know, I miss writing with my sister. I don't know. It's all in the rock ether. But those things happen. It was the way it rolled out. We did write more of the material in that band. You know, so be it. I mean, and I don't disparage anyone for their perceived impressions. It's all good. My remembrance of it was fun. It was fruitful. No drama zone for me because Nikki and I were fine. I was fine with you, Bree. I was fine with Jean. But I don't think she felt as good maybe about not writing more. You know, she had come from the, and Jean was strong. I mean, she had a sister that was real strong and they wrote quite a bit in the other Fanny.
So, did they?
I mean, that's
did they
a lot of Millington ones, but June wrote a lot of the stuff too, and Nikki had her own. You know, when I think about, I'll tell you something that floored me when I looked back about Nikki, and I do want to say this. There was no territorial issues with Nikki as far as songwriting, which I really appreciated because that's the way I come from my family. We didn't do that, say, well, I wrote this line, blah, 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 you know. I remember her saying that she had added some words or lines to Butter Boy. And it was how Nikki would talk. I mean, you just have to look at the lines. But that's in the ether. Maybe she was bullshitting. Maybe it was true. Maybe Jean wrote the whole thing. I don't know. And then she added Alice on Blind Alley. And she didn't put a word of it in. But Nikki said, I want to give her credit. I mean, she played like a freight train. And so that song, Blind Alley, was credited with Nikki and Alice. And
well, I just want to.
It was very gracious of her.
It was incredibly gracious. And that's exactly what I was going to say, which is it was Nikki's direction to tell Alice to play like a freight train.
Yes, yes.
So for her to then give songwriting credit, I just think is extraordinarily gracious.
Very gracious. And that was, you know, I mean, she was gracious about the ownership of her tunes. That's what I found. You know, there was never any drama or fighting or anything about, well, I put in this or I put in that.
Did I hear you say life's a snap? Well, don't look now, but it's a trap.
You
we have legacies. Do you know how much demographic that brings?
Believe me, I know this.
You know it, I know it. People, God, I write something and my thing blows up. And yours too.
Yeah, I do know, you know, and just to let you know, Patty, that I understand and I'm on the same page a lot of it. It was heartbreaking for me to be lessened in the documentary. And I was really mad about it at first, especially when you told me that you found that other footage. And I just had to put it together in my head, you know, that that art is Bobby Joe's and the art doesn't end there. You know, it just doesn't end there if we don't let it. And Kristen, I'm so grateful that you are who you are and you're as good at it as you are, because I think you're fucking dynamo. I mean, you got this shit down. And I think that that's the one thing that maybe Bobby Joe didn't have. She didn't have the history. She put together a good story for somebody who wasn't there.